So let's continue where we were now. First, I would like to point out that I have the template online. So if you click on that, you get the printout of my Excel file with all the computations. So you should now be able to you should be able to enter the equations in Excel and get all these results, meaning that you can enter in the Venzi model the last equations. And when you do that, you have for the desired throughput here 1440, which is the equilibrium value, a steady state value. And for the initial allocation to production, the value 2000, which is the initial, the value you need for steady state. Okay? So, and doing this, you get the steady state. Now we want to experiment with a model, and the first thing we do is to put in the pulse. So you go to desired throughput, and as you see in my model, I have put the values in the bottom. So you could simply copy paste this if you like. You can copy here. Oops, what happened? Control C, and you can put it here. And that is the steady state value plus a pulse occurring at time 10 with a width of a time step and giving a height of 100. Okay? So once you have this, and now it's important that you have a look at what I am doing. When I click now on OK, Vensim will probably tell you that you are using the time step without having it linked. So click on that. It says the following inputs were not expected but are used. Time step. Okay? So that means that you have to take the time, which I see here several times, probably from the previous one or the time step. Yes, there it is. I guess I can delete this. Yes, so it's only that. And you have to link it. You have to put time step to here. Okay? So if you now go to the equations again, desired throughput, then you see the time step is there. Click OK, and now the model is accepted. The next thing you should do is don't call the simulation result file's name, or what we call the run name, equilibrium. Give it a new name. And I should have here as the names to choose the pulse. So I give it the name pulse. But you can just enter the name and click enter, and that it's. And now you can simulate. Yes. And if you look at the results, then you see the results here. So I have this pulse here, but you see for all the curves, after a little disturbance, they are back to the steady state. So it is like telling the people, okay, now for the next instant, yeah, I want you to produce more and then go back to the formal desired value. And that doesn't create any disturbance, the system comes back to a steady state. And that's what it says here. A pulse disturbance in the desired process throughput is quickly absorbed and the system returns to steady state. Here I have exaggerated the impact of the disturbance because I put a pulse over which is thicker. So if you compare the blue line with the pulse with the red line, which is an equilibrium, so you see that the pulse had only small impact. As I said, this is not the real pulse that I am using. I am using here a pulse with a bigger thickness so that I can show you how this come back to equilibrium. Questions? Okay. So now the pulse goes fine. What happens now if the change is not just an instantaneous change and back to normal? Rather, let's increase the desired throughput, which is the red line, from this value originally here to this value, higher. We are making a step of 200. Okay, let's go back to the model. What we do is we take the definition here, equations, enter that, and instead of the time step we put, well, let's actually put an increase by 100 first, so I can put more variation than in the slides. So instead of this I put this. Now Vensing is telling me that I am not using the time step. Okay, so what I have to do now is I have to take the delete, take out this, and I can click on time step as well. Okay, you cannot delete it like this, but you can select it and take the delete, not the Vensing delete, but the delete from the keyboard. Remove from this view, but do not change the model structure. That's what you do. And then the run is, we call it step 100, the simulation file. And if we now simulate, you see it here. What happens? And this is a very interesting curve. The red curve, which only seems here because it is below the blue one, is the desired throughput. And we see the system adjusts and produces more. But we have to study the other curves. Look at the green curve. The green curve is the allocation to production. And we are seeing a different thing. Whereas the production quickly achieves the desired value, the allocation increases for a long time. Why? Because the gray curve is telling you the process problems increase for a much longer time. So this is very important to notice. Even if the results, the achieving the desired throughput, is quickly achieved, this is made at the expense of a growing curve of problems. We are getting more and more security problems for a longer and longer point of time. Why? Because the allocation to production is at the expense of doing less for security. So it is working hard. We are achieving more at the expense of working a lot on fixing the security problems. So the system can adjust, but we see that this takes a long time. And you can see also in the gross process throughput. As you can see, we are making more and more defective parts for a long period of time, just to achieve this moderate increase in production. If we now take the simulation model and increase even more the desired throughput, so we go here, instead of step 100, we put 200 here, so we are even more ambitious. Click OK. And then don't call this step 200, but call it step 200. And you do simply here 200, enter. It exists in my case, so I want to override, yes. So it simulates, look it again. Now you double the desired throughput, the desired increase in desired throughput. And here you can see the green curve, the allocation to production. Even if it takes only 20 weeks to achieve more or less the desired throughput, in terms of the allocation, even after 80 weeks, you still have to put more and more people and more effort to achieve that. Why? Because we are getting more and more and more process problems, security problems, and that's increasing all the time. And this is the gross process throughput. We are doing a lot of waste because we are having problems. So the unintended consequence of going beyond the optimal allocation is that in the background we are seeing more and more problems. Now, very often the chief executive officer in a company, the director, doesn't care about that because he doesn't see it. He says, you have to produce more. And the people are working like mad, they're having a lot of problems in the plant, they don't see that. They only see the throughput. Now, if you continue doing that, and let's be even more brutal, and go to desired throughput, and put here 400, so instead of 200, we want to increase from 1,440 to 1,840 per week. Okay, click OK, call this step 400, enter. It exists in my case, so yes, I want to override, simulate. And now you see what happens, the system breaks down. It tries to achieve the desired throughput, which doesn't quite achieve it. And then because of this tremendous increase in security problems, you have to allocate more and more people to production, and you have to work like mad to correct the problems. So in the end, the system breaks down. It is not able to produce that. So we have destroyed this company in this way by deprioritizing security and increasing the production limits desired. And that is explained here in the slides. For a small step input, we see already it has a long-term impact, as we are seeing by increasing process problems and the need to increase the allocation to production. So process problems, this thick gray line is increasing all the time. That means process problems is security problems. That's the way we interpret that. And the allocation to production, more and more people have to work harder and harder just to achieve this modest increase, because this increase is beyond the optimum. And if you push it too far, the system gets destabilized and breaks down. So even this very simple model has a very strong ability to show what happens. And now if you were working in reality with a company, the decision they have to find is what is the optimal value. I want to produce most to have most gains, that is keep security spending low. And you have to find the optimal point. Reality is very difficult because there are so many factors that influence that. But there is an optimal solution. And if you cannot model this, you have at least to try to find your way through that through empirical observations. The best thing is to make a model that allows you to understand better the problem and then fine-tune that with experience, with empirical results. Yes? Well, the model that you create will allow you, it will be simpler than reality, but it should allow you to have an idea as to which are the factors that influence the impact of security. So it's perhaps not exact, but it should allow to come relatively close to the value. And then the rest is people have to trust their intuition as to where they fix that. So the model will be a step forward in allowing you to localize the factors that are important for production and for security. But it won't be a crystal ball because it is a simplification. But if you don't have a model, then you are lost. Where are you? So a model will allow you to illuminate the factors that and the way security influences production. Of course, in reality, security will not simply be a one-dimensional value. It will have many impacts. It's about all the things that count there. So it's about physical security, it's about software security, it's about success security, it is about how to resolve incidents and so on. But the point is, very often the managers, they look only as to, do I achieve the gain that I want? They only consider the blue curve against the red curve. The red is what I want to achieve, the blue is how fast I can achieve. And they forget about the factors in the background, and you see the system is misbehaving because you are half working harder and harder and harder, the green line, and you are getting more and more process problems. So if you don't pay attention to this, you are not seeing that you are actually stressing the system too much. In reality, what is happening here is that the people, the staff, will become demoralized and discontent, and sooner or later, by you not paying attention to them, you get problems with the staff. In very big organizations, you are perhaps not performing optimally, you are underperforming. And the reason why we care about quality improvement and continuous security improvement is to be able to learn from experience and to make adaptations. Typically what happens is that you invest in quality improvement and in security so that you see that you are making progress, that you are improving all the time. So even if you don't have the answer which is optimal, if you see that you are becoming better and better, that your throughput is becoming better, that your security problems are diminishing, that the people's morale is positive and so on. So if you are not able to find the values exactly, at least you should be able to monitor that in the condition of improving. Okay. So that was the main lecture today. What I would recommend you now is that you download the Venzin model and that you reproduce what I showed you. So I want you to take the model here, which you have, and make the changes. So you enter the equation, the desired throughput, and you had originally this, 1440, and remember the simulation run file should be the one for steady state, which I call equilibrium. So you select that and then you simulate. and you must make sure the simulation gives you equilibrium. Then you go to the equation again and put the time step, the pulse. So you can enter that directly, or if you like, you can copy paste. And when you do that, you are going to get an error because you haven't linked the time step. So you click that, the following inputs were not expected, but use the time step. Okay, so you close that and you add the time step. If it is not already in the model, probably it is in the model somewhere loose. And the way to do that is shadow variable. Click on shadow variable here and scroll down until you see the time step. Put it in there and link it. And then you still have to go back to the desired throughput, which is undefined. You have to click OK. Then you have it. And you put in here the name of the simulation file, which is pulse, and simulate, and you get this. And then you go again with the definition, and instead of the times of the pulse, you put a step rise, like this. And now you get the other mistake, the other warning from Vensim. They will say you don't need the time step. Click on that, close, and you have to break the link here. So click on the arrow so that it disappears. And you can leave the time step there even if you are not using it, because it is not linked. Then you go to the run, call it step 100, which means it matches this change you have made. Run the simulation. Ah, we have still to press, it says you forgot to define that. We have to press OK here. Now we can simulate. And you have this. And you do these exercises by yourself. So do that so that you can see that you master, that you are able to use the Vensim file. So I give you now, say, 5 to 10 minutes to do this. Okay? So that you can see all the simulations. There is a possibility, in addition, but this is quite mathematical. You could, in principle, from the equations in the model, because they are not so complex, you could compute the best choice for the desired throughput. And you find that in the document that I gave you here. Somewhere it is hinted at. So all this here explains, in principle, everything that I told you is in this document. Perhaps it's not here. No, I don't find it now. What is the optimum? the maximum. No, it's not here. But at least in the document here from Morrison, Insights from Modeling Dynamics of Process Improvement, there I think that is the optimum mentioned. Yes, here you have the discussion and it calls the tipping point and so on and so on. So here on this page 23, 24 of the original article by Morrison, it is discussed how you in principle could compute the optimum. So this is just a hint to you. But now I want you to play a little bit with the simulation model, and then in the last hour we will do a little bit some other thing. So try that, and if you have problems in doing that, just ask me and then you can get the help. So how are you doing? Do you get these simulations, the pulse and the steps, everything going okay? You too, Steiner? So you haven't tried yet? You're working on it. Okay, I give you a couple of more minutes. It is important that you try that so that you can see if there is some issue that needs to be resolved. I'm going to add a new thing to the frontal room, which I'm going to talk about in the last Okay? I assume you have tried, no problems. Then, to finish today, I am going to talk about a slightly different topic, and that is about modeling how to manage a big crisis. Security in it's more and more understood today as not only information security but also questions related to assuring the protecting against disasters, protecting against man-made threats and so on. So if you look at the calls from the European Union, they have the new program is called Horizon 2020, and there is one program called Secure Societies, and part of it is about how to improve, how to prevent disasters, whether they are caused by natural causes like tsunamis, hurricanes, extreme weather, floods, fire, earthquakes, volcanoes, but also man-made terrorist acts and so on. And both here, and I have been working with that, and we have a European project here at this college, which I was part of the team that developed that, and that is learning from past crises. But I'm going to spend some time in the next one to tell you about the Hatlet Stad slide. That was a slide, a big slide in Western Norway. Hatlet Stad is a suburb in the city of Bergen, and there was a landslide there. And I will show you how a system dynamics model can be used to explain the development of the crisis management, disaster management. And they are both the presentation slides. ISCRAM is a conference, Information Systems for Crisis Management, is the acronym ISCRAM. And that's a model that two master students developed for me, that were Geir Bøhr and Jorena Johansen. I was the supervisor. And in addition to this, we have a paper in the conference, which is the next link, a system dynamics model. So if you are interested, you can read that. And it tells a bit about how to make models. It describes the slides, the timeline of the disaster, and so on and so on. But this we will do after the break. So we take 15 minutes break, and then we finish the day with that. Okay?